Jam! Hello again and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTGcast Network. I am Chewy.
Hi, Chewy.
Hi. And I am joined by Squee.
Hi, everybody.
We are not joined by Clues for reasons that he may or may not disclose at a later date.
We assure you he is not in prison to our knowledge.
As far as we know. He's also not on a boat, not doing sky checks, and not playing Legacy.
Definitely not playing Legacy. That is a gone hobby.
Gone hobby. Add that to the show notes for possible titles.
Oh, he's not here. I have to do it.
That's pretty good. okay, then. Yes, we are sans Clues. You see, because he's got the French name, so... We are sans la Clouse.
Sans Clues?
Yeah.
Sans la Clouse.
Sans,
just like it is in the show notes.
No, wait. That's the wrong way. Da. There we go. That's better. That's da. French, right?
Hi.
Hi. Anyway. Yeah. So no clues this week. Very sorry. But since nothing happened, I think we'll be all right. At least nothing much. So two things did happen, though. We have... two standard Grand Prix and Grands Prix. Oh, wait. I got an email about this. Hang on. I saved it just so
just
I can...
Just want to clarify for what the plural of Grand Prix is.
Okay. It's from Joe. Oh, it's from Aleph Cat. I had no idea. Your name was Joe. Just to help stop you going mad every time, there's more than one Grand Prix to talk about. The plural of Grand Prix is Grands Prix with an S on the first one. Prix is already plural, so you have to pluralize the other bit. And it's pronounced... Grand Prix. So it's a Grand Prix. It's always a Grand Prix. It's like deer or fish.
Grand S pricks.
it's like deer or fish. What's another thing that's Jedi?
Yeah, that's important. First time that's ever mattered.
I love the way that the name of this caused all kinds of nerds to like rage at each other. Like all of
them were super upset, and then the other languages clarified it for us.
Like, could everybody please stop talking about this? Just wait for the movie to come out and go watch it. Damn. Personally, what's it called? Is it The Last Jedi? Remembering that? Okay.
It's like The Last Unicorn, but with Mark Hamill.
Wasn't Mark Hamill in The Last Unicorn?
I don't think so.
Oh, never mind then. But no, personally,
he acts in mysterious ways.
I think it means The Last Jedi, as in the previous Jedi. You know, the last one.
I don't know. I like the internet theory that the new trilogy actually just creates a phrase where it's like The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi from his nap.
That's pretty good.
We're just creating a story here.
I'm just going to call it The Previous Jedi until I see it. But anyway, thank you, Aleph Cat. I appreciate that.
All right, so the Grande S Prix.
Yes, the Grande S Prix. There was one. Which one? I have the same one open twice. Hang on, let me go click on the proper link. Here we go. So there was one in Japan. Where is this, Bill?
Grand Prix Shizuoka.
Yes. See, he's my Japanese expert. That's why I get him.
That's how I know how to spell Grand Prix. With my mouth. Yeah.
All
hey, look,
right.
It's standard. I wonder what it is.
Oh, I bet there's only three decks, but maybe not the three you're thinking. So, who won this? I'm just going to turn this all over to you, because these Japanese names are things that you can pronounce closer to properly than I can.
You see, I like how you do that when not all of them are Japanese names. Well done. Yeah. Well done.
Hey, look, not all of the North American Grand S Prix names are from America, so it's fine.
That is totally fair. Okay, so I guess I'll go down the list of people, and you'll say what decks are running?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Because we can't actually trust that they're always in order anymore after we were betrayed last week.
I think they are, though.
I think they are, though.
Yeah.
All right, so Ryohei Kirino in first place.
He is playing Mardu... God, here they go again. Mardu Ballista, which it turns out they're all Mardu Ballista, the ones that are Mardu. So we're just going to call it...
Mardu?
what are we calling it? Autobots?
Yeah, Autobots. Yeah.
So he's playing Mardu Autobots. Okay, just Autobots. Never mind. Apparently this is his first Grand Prix. And he
That's
just
a good
won.
Way to do it.
So yeah, I mean, Now he should just retire while he's ahead from Grand Prix. Just, I'm done.
Isn't that how Space Jam ended?
I mean, everybody got up. I don't remember the rest of that line.
It was, in fact, time to jam now.
But unfortunately, there's really nothing to say about this deck other than it's the one that runs Archangel Avacyn and Walking Ballista.
Yeah.
Yeah. All so right. Moving on.
So this one I will totally get wrong. So, Wintao Ki?
Wintao Ki? Where's he from? He's from Beijing. That might be K. Excuse me, that might be K.
It very well could be. Like, the downside of learning how to pronounce names in one language means that you are completely hopeless in all other languages. That is our argument, that is our excuse, and that's what we're sticking with.
So he's also playing Mardu Ballista. This one's a little different. It does have Veteran Motorist and Walking Ballista, two of each instead of four.
It's got a Harvester one of them. In it, doesn't it?
And it's got an Aethersphere Harvester, but there's always either 0, 1, or 2 in these decks. So, hey, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, but I like to think of it as a Sky Tractor.
It is totally a Sky Tractor. And whoever crews it puts on a, whoever crews it puts on a Sky hat and a piece of Sky straw in their mouth.
That's some Sky John Deere. Yeah. All right. Nice. Third place is, Masayasu Tanahashi.
Hang on. I had to go add Sky John Deere to the possible list of show names.
That sounds trademarked.
Okay. Running, now here's
Teemer Tower deck.
Yeah. Here's a more different deck. He's running Teemer Tower, which is one of those tier three decks that they were hoping would break out into tier two. It's running the, Dynavolt Tower, thus the name.
Yeah.
The Torrential Gear Hulk, for reasons that will become clear when we get to the spells. And, 2 Aether Meltdown, which is essentially a removal spell that gives, energy.
Yeah.
The enchantment, you know, Enchanted Permanent gets -4/-0 for a creature or vehicle.
Yeah, it's pretty soft removal, but it does something. And then, it adds energy.
Yeah, and that's the important part. And then everything else is attuned with Aether, Shock, Harness, Lightning, Negate, Natural Obsolescence, Disallow, Void Shatter, Glimmer of Genius, Anticipate, and Brutal Expulsion. So, yeah, there's your...
Now, note that mainboard Natural Obsolescence shows you the density of artifacts, specifically vehicles running around right now. This is main deck, get rid of that artifact.
Yeah, just the one though, which is...
It's only the one, but that's just a sign of what, you know, you can expect in any of these. I mean, between the Torrential Gear Hulks and the Dynavolt Towers and the off chance you get a mirror match, and then all the vehicles going around in the other decks, it's actually surprising that we don't get a lot more of that.
Yeah. He's also got in the board Shielded Aether Thief and Bristling Hydra in case he wants to amp up the energy face punching.
Yeah.
Oh, and Tireless Tracker, because Tireless Tracker.
Confiscation coup.
Yeah, I've got all the energy. I just want, give me that. That's mine now.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty funny way to get Heart of Kieran. It's pretty cheap.
How would you do that though? Oh, it's artifact or creature. Damn!
Yeah. I mean, the big downer is you're gonna need to drive it with a Gear Hulk, but. Womp womp. That's funny.
Gearhulk can drive, right?
Presumably. I mean, I'm not going to pull it over if I see it going down the road.
That's a good point.
Be like that super tall guy in the tiny car on
the
Simpsons.
I was just about to say that.
Do you find it humorous seeing me drive down the street in my automobile? I'll have you know this was the largest car I could afford. Yes, Mr. Gearhulk. Carry on, Mr. Gearhulk. Please don't bring that card back. It hurt last time, Mr. Gearhulk.
Oh, Lord. Who's next?
All right. Fourth place, we have Yusuke Sasabe.
Hey, look. He's playing Mardu Ballista. Next.
Yeah, that was fun. Fifth place, Sunjeon Jae?
Possibly. Oh, he's South Korean. Okay.
Apologies to everybody.
I have completely lost the deck lists. Oh, here they are. He is playing Mardu Ballista. Next.
All right. Sixth place, we have Takanori Watanabe.
He is playing Mardu Ballista.
Seems legit.
Wait, this one has PNLR in it, so at least there's something slightly different.
That's cool. Seventh place.
What's not there?
Oh, what was cut to make room for Pia?
Scrap Heap's Grounder? Is that what's missing? No, there it is. Oh, hang on. Ballista Inspector Exemplar Scrounger. Okay. Ballista Inspector Exemplar Scrounger. Thalia? Is that what's missing?
Could be.
Thalia's missing. Okay. Neat.
I like the idea of Ballista Inspector being a job that you would actually have in Kaladesh, because it actually seems very likely.
I mean, my uncle is a welding inspector. Do what?
They're all about keeping everything up to code in Kaladesh, so I can see a Ballista Inspector being a real profession.
Yeah. I said my uncle was a welding inspector for NASA. So
neat.
You gotta have people inspecting all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Admittedly, I'm sure NASA would be very upset if the welding was not up to code.
Yeah, it's true.
That'd be terrible. Seventh place, we have Akihiro Miyamoto, who is armed with a banana and amazing, I believe that is pink or red glasses, depending on the white balance of this picture. So that's an exciting shot. What do you bring to the table when you are armed with a banana and classy shades?
Now, the question is he brandishing that like a weapon, or is he just showing what's for lunch? That's the question.
I don't know. I like to think that he's actually completing the picture of the robot and the art behind him. Kind of like that awkward C-3PO picture from the old cards.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'll tell you when you're older.
Fair enough. But he's playing Mardu Ballista. Next.
Seems fair. And in eighth place, we have Motoaki Ito, who is rocking something different.
Yeah, this is actually, well, it's not as different as you'd think from the name. So it's called Jund Smasher. But really, it's a black-green counter deck with the Winding Constrictor, Rishkar, Tireless Tracker, Catacomb Sifter, Walking Ballista, Verdurous Gear Hulk. Okay, it's got all those. Oh, and also a Heart of Karin and Sky Sovereign and Oath of Nyssa. So a bunch of random nonsense that you see in some of the black-green decks. But he's also running Scrap Heap Scrounger, which may or may not be in some of those decks. Attune with Aether, Fatal Push, Unlicensed Disintegration for a little splash of red mana, and Reality Smasher, because it turns out a 5/5 with Trample and Haste that is hard to kill is pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, it's a card that no one really talks about that I'm aware of.
I mean, it's all over the place in, you know, Modern and Legacy when there are those decks, the Eldrazi decks running around. But in Standard, it just seems to have fallen off. And yet, here it is, not as part of an Eldrazi deck, but as a big-ass top-of-the-curve kill you.
Yeah.
And that seems pretty good, I have to say.
Yeah, I wonder if it's, you know, just coming out of the gate with Trample means that it's a good place to dump all the +1/+1 counters that the deck makes without relying entirely on just like, and here's the giant Gear Hulk.
I mean, it seems good.
I mean, it's big enough already, but it's interesting. When I saw the name, I'm like, so is this designed of Jund and to smash? Or is this smash Jund? So it looks like this is Jund what smashes.
Yeah, since there's no Jund in the format to smash, that's probably a pretty safe bet.
Seems likely.
So yeah, that's really cool. Even though it's still, it's a weird like mashup of the Autobots and the black-green energy decks. It's a very bizarre smash-up.
So it's like an Energon deck?
With Reality Smasher thrown in, because that's how you get those two decks smashed together, is by smashing all of Reality.
Yeah, sounds fair.
And in the board, there's another Sky Sovereign, a Kool-Aid Man Obnixilis, Kalitas, a Noxious Gear Hulk, a Nyssa Vital Force, Release the Gremlins, Distended Mind Bender, Transgress the Mind, Harness Lightning, and two Natural Obsolescence because artifacts. Seems good.
Yeah, if you want to see a metagame breakdown, the top 5 moments actually has one for the top 32. It's a weird place for them to put that, but
it is a little bit, yeah. I guess nothing else happened. Okay, here we go. Top 32 players, 16 playing Mardu, 4 playing the 4-color Crazy Cat Lady, 2 playing Black Green Constrictor, 3 playing Jeskai, a teamer or Jeskai Tower, and then the 1 Jun Smasher, 1 teamer Marvel, and 1 Red Green Energy.
I think that was 5 playing the Cat Lady deck. It's just weird because it says 4C at the beginning of it because of how they abbreviated it.
Oh, because it's 4 color Cat Lady.
Yeah.
I completely screwed that up. My bad.
I mean, it hit you at the front with a number. It was weird. But yeah, that's more than half of, or that's exactly half. This chart's weird.
Yeah, how is it 32 players and yet 16 takes up more than half?
I don't even know.
My brain hurts.
I think somebody messed up in Excel, but whatever. The point is, half of them are playing the Mardu deck.
Which is why, what, 6 of the top 8 are Autobots?
Seems likely, yeah. And then of the people that went 9-1, 10-0, I wish it actually gave a total number here so I didn't have to do head math.
Let's see, 5 and 3 is 8, and 3 is 11, that's 33, and 15. What's 33 and 15? I lost track already.
46.
There you go.
No, 48, duh.
33 and 50, yeah, 48.
Math.
So there you go.
So 22 of the 48 were Mardu. Well, turns out it's a popular deck and still winning.
Yay?
I mean, yay if you like it.
Now, they do highlight a few brews here in number 4, which one we just talked about, the 8th place deck. In 9th place, though, Tomoya, how do you say that?
the 9th place one?
Yeah, scroll down in the moments.
Tomoya Kobayashi.
Yeah. He is running Mardu Tokens, which is actually really cool. It's running Fatal Push, Unlicensed Disintegration, 4 of each of those, 1 Anguished Unmaking. Remember that card? Yeah, that's a card that still exists.
Yeah.
It's running 3 SRAM's Expertise, which has a dumb name, but then so does SRAM, but is a really cool card. It's got Gideon, Ally of Zendikar, Aili, Eternal Pilgrim, Scrap Heap Scrounger, Walking Ballista, Yeheni, Undying Partisan. Yay!
Unexpected.
PNLR, Thalia, and Archangel Avacyn. It's just all of the legends and Scrap Heap Scrounger and Walking Ballista.
Weird.
No SRAM, but his expertise is present, so that's cool. So that's a neat little build.
Not to be left out, Kalitas is in the board.
Well, of course.
Because you gotta have your legendary creatures.
There's also a Sorin and an Omnixilis while you're in there, and an Oath of Liliana in the board, just because Planeswalkers are people too.
Most of the time.
Some of the time. And then in 21st place, Kazuki Yamada is running a red-green energy deck, which is not really anything terribly new, except it's running Lathnu Hellion.
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
And if you're going, huh? It's a 4-4 with haste for 2 and a red. When it enters the battlefield, you get 2 energy, and at the beginning of your end step, you sacrifice it unless you pay 2 energy. So for 2 energy, you can keep it around to swing again next turn.
It's pretty effective. And a sufficiently aggressive deck, it's like, oh, you're going to take 4? Cool. You want to take 4 more? Cool. I don't care anymore. This 3 mana turned into 8 damage.
It's a nice little addition to the deck.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really seem like the kind of format where you hold back.
Right? And then down in 90th place, Yukio Matsuda is running Mono Black Zombies.
So different. Look at all these cards.
So it's got 3 Liliana the Last Hope and 2 Obnixilis Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah? It's running Ruinous Path, Dark Salvation, Fatal Push, Grasp of Darkness, and Murder. Just killing all of the things and making lots of zombies. And then the creature base, Crypt Breaker, Relentless Dead, Gifted Aetherborn. That's the grounded Vampire Nighthawk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeheni, Haunted Dead, Gonti, Lord of Luxury, and 1 Voldaren Pariah. Voldaren Pariah? Did
Voldaren,
I say that right?
Like Olivia Voldaren.
I don't know what I said. I think I
you
was
said Voldaren, and I'm like, that's different.
I was trying to read Pariah before I got there, I think is what happened in my brain.
Vidalka and Parakeet.
Caw-caw!
Caw-caw-caw-caw-caw.
So yeah, that's a nifty thing. Oh, and also 2 Blighted Fin in the mana base. Because who's going to expect that? What's really sad, though, is they had to go all the way down to 90th place to get a fourth nifty-looking brew.
Mm-hmm.
But that's standard for you.
Yeah, Ryohei Kirino, aside from this being his first GP, has only been playing Magic since Eldritch Moon.
Wow.
Yeah. What have you guys been doing with your time? I had to tell you what I've been doing. Not winning GPs.
That is very true.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, and it's Odin Turtenwald's deck.
Huh.
Hmm. Well, there's your problem. So,
let's leave. That's his problem.
Let's leave Japan and go somewhere else.
Somewhere else. GP somewhere.
GP that other place. Where is Porto Alegre?
Brazil.
Well, I mean, I knew that. Porto Alegre. Oh, thanks, Google Maps. Zoom out, zoom out, zoom out, zoom out, zoom out.
Far south Brazil. On the water.
That is far south. Holy crap. Okay, then. I was just curious.
Uruguay and Argentina, south Brazil.
So, are these in order? Oh, they say first, second, third. Okay, let's hope so. Oh, but the deck lists aren't in order. Oh, you bastards.
Betrayal.
Okay. Who? Victor Silva. What's he playing? Teamer Tower won? Wait a minute. How many people were at this GP? How many people were at the last GP? 27-19 in Shizuoka and 570 in Porto Alegre. Which is probably a pretty good number for a kind of stale format in Brazil.
Probably.
So, but he's running the Teamer Tower deck. Look, this might jump up into tier 2 after all. Wow.
Do what you can.
But Dynavolt Tower, Torrential Gear Hulk, and then everything else is energy, card draw, removal, counterspells, all of it. I mean, he's even running too horribly awry, because it's funny. And also, he had Long Tusk Cub and Tireless Tracker and Narnum Renegade in his board so he could, not exactly transformational, but he could seriously shift the tone of his deck in games 2 and 3 if necessary.
Shift gears.
Yeah, speed.
No, that's the other deck.
oh.
Adjust tower height as needed.
Well, adjust tower position.
Orientation.
I think the tower is what came out when he needed to go that way.
D-tower if needed.
Ah, yeah, okay. So that's pretty cool. What else do we have here? Here we go. Wagner William Cassati is running. Autobots in second.
Yep.
Moving on. Francisco Cifuentes is running. Hang on, have to find him in the list. Black Green Delirium. Oddly enough, one we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
But it's still the same deck, essentially, so.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything different from it.
Yeah, nothing new going on here. Who's next? Rafael Bertoli Parra. Scroll, scroll, scroll.
Black Who's Green Energon.
Black Green Energy. So this is a completely different version of the Black Green deck. With the Rampager, the Long Tusk Cub, the Siphoner. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've still seen it before, but it's actually been a little while since it made a top 8, so.
Good on it.
Yeah. Next up, Sebastian Pozzo running. Autobots. Next. Luis Salvato running. Oh, 4-color Crazy Cat Lady. Don't really
see. Remember when that combo was the scourge of the format?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, okay.
Good thing we didn't ban anything.
Aw. Next up in, what is this, 7th place, Patricio Roman is running 4-color copycat. This one has Ishikana.
That's different, though. Yeah. Oh, God, a copy spider.
Do what?
It's a copy spider.
A copy? Oh, okay. We're going to get away from that before I pee a little.
But you need 3 more spiders every time you blink it.
Hey, why don't you shut your face? which one of these have I not read out? This one. So, Carlos Alexander dos Santos Esteves. Esteves?
Hey, Steve. I'm going to that
Hey,
now.
Steve. Yeah, that's what I was going for. Is running another 4-color Crazy Cat Lady deck.
All right, then.
So, yeah. Standard.
There's variety between these, though. This one wasn't nearly as vehicular.
Very true.
And they're called vehicles here. They're not called ballistas.
So is there...
I mean, they still have ballistas in them, but they're not called it.
Yeah, I think it's got something to do with which coverage team is doing it.
I think that's entirely the case.
Oh, dude. This event is the first time that live video coverage was being broadcast in the continent of South America, in addition to
really?
The text coverage. That's awesome.
It makes me sad that I didn't realize that.
And Paulo, Paulo Vitor Dama de Rosa and Willie Adel, the two Brazilian Hall of Famers, were doing coverage. Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, so that's really good.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's check out the 9 through 30 second deck list since we don't get that fancy metagame breakdown that as far as I can see. Here we go. Copycat, Autobots. Black, red, Eldrazi. What?
That doesn't sound like the colors that Eldrazi.
In 12th place, Pedro Carvalho's running Glint Sleeve Siphoner, Scrap Heap Scrounger, Ballista, Pia, Thought Not Seer, Reality Smasher, Fatal Push Shock, Unlicensed Disintegration, A Heart of Kieran, Aethersphere Harvester. Ha! That's really cool. Let's see, Autobots, Cats, Black Green Energy, Autobots, Rollout, Kitties, Transform, Rollout.
That kind of sounds like they were carefully prepared for fighting that in the late tables.
Sounds like it.
Certainly there.
You know, what you'd expect. Oh, here we go. A Teamer Aetherworks deck in 25th.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's Ulamog and he's hungry.
He is. Get that Aetherworks Marvel out and barf out an Ulamog as soon as possible. That'll mess up your opponent's day. Oh, there's another one in 26th. Autobots. Meow. Optimus Prime. My mouse died. Come on.
You're not missing much more.
Okay, here we go. Ratchet, I guess, is another Autobot. Oh, here's another one. Ironhide. Oh, and more kitties.
We're just going to start going down Transformer names when we get to those in the future, because there are a lot of Transformers, and it's going to keep happening.
Yeah, but my brain keeps... Like, now that I'm trying to think of them, I'm only getting Decepticon names. So this is an actual problem. All right, well, there were your tournaments.
Society
did not have an open this week.
And next week they're going to GP, so they will not have an open next week either.
And it's our only GP, if I remember correctly, and it's limited, so sweet.
Yeah.
And two Manipool dorks will be there on day one, at the very least, Mike and Brian. So if you happen to be at GP Orlando... Track them down and say hi. If you want them to sign something, you better have a Sharpie because they are terrible people and don't plan on that sort of thing and they will not.
That sounds accurate.
No, they've confirmed it. They're like, yeah, we won't have a Sharpie. I'm like, yeah, good job, guys.
If you're looking for them, Mike is the guy with the majestic beard and the ammo boxes and Brian is the guy next to him.
He looks like Brian.
Yeah, he looks exactly like Brian. It's creepy.
It is really weird.
I'm really impressed at his commitment to look exactly like his token. Like a lifestyle choice.
Yes. So really, the only other thing that happened today, at least as far as we know. Some other things happened, but nothing that we care about. So, I mean, there was a dual commander tournament, whatever. There were some Eternal tournaments, whatever. So
yeah, we don't actually go through and list every tournament that happened, or we would still be doing them. We try to find the bigger, more high exposure tournaments.
Not gonna tell you who won the FNM at Lucky's. Just not gonna do that. But Dual Decks Mind versus Might was revealed, and it looks actually really sweet.
Yeah, it looks like a fun matchup.
So we've got the Mind deck, headlined by Joyra of the Gitu, that scourge of EDH days past.
I mean, why would I spend mana, like lots of mana, when I can just wait a few turns? Everyone can wait with me.
It's true. But this deck is running weird stuff, man. It's got a very spell-heavy feel to it. Things like Goblin Electromancer and Young Pyromancer. lots of card draw, some things whenever you cast a spell, or number of instants and sorceries in graveyard and things like that.
Yeah, I think some of the choices in here are neat too. Like Jordian Ruin Diver is actually pretty cool when you start suspending things, because you'll be casting a second spell each turn pretty often.
Yeah, because it's your first turn, or your first spell each turn, that you actually physically cast, because the suspend thing counts as casting.
Yep.
But it just happens, so it's glorious.
Yeah.
And it's also got the Unspeakable, along with copies of Reach Through Mists, Peer Through Depths, and Sift Through Sands.
Which is cute.
Which is hilarious. And it's also got cool new art on the Unspeakable that doesn't look like a large vagina monster.
Which True.
Will help, because that's kind of gross. For those that don't remember, the Unspeakable is a 6/7 with flying and trample, and when it deals combat damage to a player, you can return an arcane card from your graveyard to your hand. Arcane is a spell subtype from the Kamigawa block that you've never seen since.
And you probably never will.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you might if you have seen Desperate Ritual, because that's an arcane spell that sees a little bit of play here and there.
Well, you might see it in, like, EDH product or something, but it's not coming back to standard. I would not hold my breath on that.
No. But, so Reach Through Mists for a single blue, instant draw card. Cute. Peer Through Depths for one and a blue, instant. Look at the top 5 cards of your library. Reveal an instant or sorcery. Put it in your hand. The rest go on the bottom. Cute. And then Sift Through Sands. 1 blue, instant. All 3 of these are arcane, by the way. If you played a spell named Peer Through Depths and a spell named Reach Through Mists. Oh, it also draw 2 cards and then discard a card, but that sort of doesn't matter. If you played all 3 of them, you can search your library for a card named The Unspeakable, put it onto the battlefield, and shuffle your library. So it's just a neat extra, a slightly cheaper and cheekier way to play The Unspeakable. Because instead of paying 6 and 3 blue, you could pay, I think it's 6 mana total. Yeah, 3 and 3 blue. 3 and 4 blue. 1, 2... Yeah, 3 and 4 blue, sorry. 2 and 4 blue! I can't add or count.
Numbers.
But the deck also has Grapeshot and Empty the Warrens and Temporal Fissure. Oh, and Mind's Desire. For storm stuff, it's got Volcanic Vision, Beacon of Tomorrows, Shivan Meteor. Wow. This looks like a lot of fun to just...
This looks like the kind of deck that I would have made when I was first getting into Magic and had all these cool cards and wanted to play with them. And I'd be like, well, these are all going in this deck, and I hope it does something awesome. The only thing that I would probably have changed is I don't understand putting Shivan Meteor in a deck that doesn't also have Stuffy Doll in it. But past that, all in. This looks great.
Okay, that's a good point, yeah.
If you own Stuffy Doll, you know what you must do.
And then the Might deck, headlined by Lovisa Cold Eyes from Cold Snap, is lots of warriors and... Warrior.
Oh, that's right. They never did Errata Lovisa to be employed.
And Kamal is a barbarian. Okay, there we go. So, yeah, it's lots of things that just hurt people.
Yeah.
Bloodthirst. They punch you in the head. It's also got Rada, Heir to Keld, and Kamal Pitfighter in there just to hit you in the head harder. Hey, look, Monday Night Magic preview card, Rubble Belt Raiders is in here.
Oh, and it's going to hit you so hard in this deck.
Yeah, a little bit.
Attacking is a 5/5 sometimes.
I don't
Plus
think we
more.
I don't think we mentioned the Beacon of Tomorrows in the Mind deck. There's a Beacon of Destruction in the Might
deck. Oh, that's cute. That'd be like shuffling.
If you want to hear more about the Beacons, go listen to a recent episode of the Mana Pool where we did... a Mythic Conscription segment for Fifth Dawn, where these cards are originally from.
Ha, Coat of Arms. Wonderful.
What? Oh my god, there's a Coat of Arms. That's just insane.
That's funny. Oh, in this deck, that's going to be math-tastic.
I think in this deck, it's just going to be, I win?
Okay, so this is a barbarian. That's kind of like a warrior, right? No.
Oh, still a human. Oh, sick.
Yeah, I'm glad there are other... humans in the deck so that Lovisa can actually get a pump from something, because it's always really sad that she doesn't get to boost herself.
Well, if she did, she would just say other.
Yeah, but that's just sort of the thing. It's like she's boosting the barbarians, the warriors, and the berserkers, and she has none of these things.
Well, no, she's the boss. She doesn't have to be.
She's the Lord. Not that that means anything anymore. But, yeah.
I mean, it's not even written there anymore.
No, she's just a human now. She lost even that job. This economy's rough.
It is.
Like, Cold Snap was not good for anybody.
Except for Limited.
I mean, I guess Merit Lodge got out. That's pretty cool.
What was the freaking mechanic called?
Which one?
In Limited, the one where you looked at the Ripple.
Oh, Ripple was a mess.
Ripple was hilarious. Anyway.
How many thrumming stones do you have? No. So yeah, these look like fun duel decks. Like, you could swap which one you're playing after a few rounds and have a different experience that still looks like a lot of fun. Because they're both just doing fun things and they happen to be fighting each other.
Go ahead.
Well, normally I can look at these things that, well, this one's probably got an edge over the other one, but I don't know.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Like, the Might deck is going to be coming out running, and it might just beat the Mind deck since it's, you know, going to need a few turns to get the Suspend thing. But on the same note, the Mind deck is really well equipped to handle things. So maybe it's just going to be one of those cases where the Might deck just has to come out running, and if it can get there, then great, and if it doesn't, then it's going to be dealing with a lot of problems, which honestly is about what you want in a red versus blue deck. They just both have red in them.
I just realized that Fireman's Foresight, if nothing else, can go get you one copy each of Reach Through Depths, Peer Through Depths, Reach Through Mists, Peer Through Depths, and Sift Through Sands.
Oh, that's cute.
That's funny.
I like that. That's neat.
See, it's been a while since they released a dual decks that made me really, really want to buy it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm tempted to pick this one up. This looks like a fun, you know, your friend wants to play and you don't want to dig out decks or deal with what's fair or balanced. You just run these. Pretty simple. Like, once you explain what Suspend does, and if they've never played with that, it should be pretty straightforward. Suspend isn't that complicated in a vacuum and only one person's doing it and you don't have, like, time bugs and stuff messing it up. Cool.
Buh. So, yeah, and those come out, looks like March 31st?
Yes.
And they are $24.99 in the U.S., so whatever equivalent, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Hooray.
And that's pretty much it for the news in the paper world. So, let's jump over to Modo to find out what the hell.
That's a fair question. So, as is usually the case, Magic Online news usually pops up Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We record on Monday. So most of the items that appear in the weekly announcements are about a tournament that's already happened. You can ignore all of that stuff. The one ominous thing that's sitting here in last week's note was Modern Masters 2017 edition announcements coming tomorrow. Well, because this is the past, I can tell you what those were right now.
Whoa.
I know, right? It's like time and stuff. So in the article entitled Modern Master 2017 Edition Events and Constructed Event Changes, they spend a lot of energy telling you exactly how Modern Master 2017 events work. You get the start time, which is going to be the March 22 downtime, which is this week. They'll be running through April 12th. And, you know, all the different modes are here. You've got Intermediate Draft, which is one where you're actually ponying up a lot in terms of tickets and packs up front, but you get to keep your cards. And there's Phantom Drafts if you just want to play it and you don't really care about the digital cards. So you got this stuff up here. That's pretty cool. But the interesting thing is if you scroll down past that, you get that other half of the headline that I mentioned, the constructed event changes. So let me explain what happens right now when you play Magic. You play an event, you know, you do well, you get a few different things if you succeed. Generally speaking, if you're not playing in a Phantom event or something weird, then you're going to be getting treasure chests and you're going to be getting, packs as in like sealed product, digital sealed product, and sometimes qualifier points. Well, throughout the history of Magic Online, or at least as far back as I've been exposed to it, the packs that came out of constructed play were pretty much used as a put them in an online store so that limited players can pick them up cheaper than buying them directly from WotC. Or you use them to enter limited events yourself. Like, it was very seldom that you would actually open a digital pack because it's inevitably going to lose some of its equity there when someone else could be drafting with it. So that was a thing, but it did mean that if you jumped into Magic Online and you weren't brand new, you eventually realized that if you want to play limited, you don't buy packs from Wizards. You go and you get them from a bot for less because they're identical packs because it's all digital. and you might as well get more out of your tickets if you have tickets. So last year, they introduced the treasure chest concept as a prize structure where rather than, you know, straight up getting packs for things, you get these treasure chests, which are contained cards that you couldn't normally get through regular circulation and just other ways to give people compensation. Because like I said before, if you played all construct and you didn't care about limited, but you also didn't want to deal with selling things to bots or any of that stuff, here's something else you can open. It might help you with your collection. That's cool. Or eventually they allowed you to trade them around a bit, so they tweaked them. But that was the thing. Well, fast forward to last week, the news came out that they were seeing that – well, I'll just read it. So it'll just be easier than me paraphrasing at this point. Constructed prizes in the form of boosters ties them to the limited format, which is shown to have negative effects in the Magic Online economy. This is especially true in formats like Modern Masters are available. Constructed players would have trouble trading the main set boosters they won because many limited players are more interested in the alternate offerings, which is to say, like right now, if you were to play and you get a bunch of packs of Kaladesh and everyone online is drafting Modern Masters, then your packs of Kaladesh are worth less, even though you just won them during this format. And once, you know, formats shift and no one's really drafting Kaladesh anymore, they're going to be worth even less than they are now. So there's a shelf life on that. So based on those trends, they're removing boosters from constructed events starting March 22nd and adding more treasure chests to the prizes instead. So what they're doing is pretty much taking booster packs out of contention across these different constructed formats. Now, they'd already pulled them from friendly constructed leagues and two-player queues, and now they're just going to be removing them from competitive constructed leagues and vintage daily events. So instead, when you enter, you'll be paying your event tickets and your play points like before, and your prizes will be treasure chests, play points, and qualifier points. They won't give you any packs. So who benefits from this? The people that are benefiting are the people who really have no desire to play the current limited formats, because now they're getting something that's going to theoretically retain value better than these packs that are going to become relatively worthless once that draft format rotates. I personally have a lot of packs of Gate Crash from back in Return to Ravnica block, because that was the last time I was really active playing Limited and Magic Online, and Gate Crash was a format that I was actually pretty good at. So I won a whole lot of things about the time I got essentially tired of playing it. So I ended up leaving that format with like 20 or 30 packs of Gate Crash. Well, once the Dragon's Maze set came out, I was only using one of those per draft, so that was kind of crappy. I still had to buy packs so the other two could use them at all. And then everything rotated and Gate Crash was just done. So these things are worth very little in terms of online equity. So a system like this would have benefited me back then. However, the thing is, I was only playing limited, so I was benefiting from the fact that I could go online, like I said before, and get a whole bunch of packs off of bots and play limited for cheaper. Well, under this, all of these extra packs that are generated whenever people win, you know, constructed events are gone. So that cuts down on the number of them available in secondary market, which means you have to go back to Wizards to buy more of your packs. It's kind of annoying. Now, as things are currently standing, they're just removing this from the constructed events. So the limited players aren't going to be hit quite as badly, but it is a change in the market flow that puts a little bit more power with WotC. Now, if you are instead interested only in playing Construct, you have no desire to play Limited, you have no desire to work with any of this stuff, and you like the things that are in Treasure Chest, well, cool. You win, you open a box. That's a very common model in other games. It's something that is actually a lot of fun in games like Overwatch, where, oh, hey, it's a box. You don't save the box, really. You open it. You see what's in it. It's fun. And that's kind of what prizes are supposed to be. And when you play Constructed, like I said before, events cost event tickets or play points, which you can, you know, not get out of a pack. So they're sort of streamlining it from the constructed end. I think it'll be interesting in the grand scheme of things to see if this ultimately matters for the secondary market, because WotC is kind of shifting things around, and it's understandable to, because these are affecting constructed players, to give them something that works better for them. Though I found it interesting in the case of this one that they make that change almost like an afterthought footnote when the main focus here is, hey, look, Modern Masters 2017, go buy this and play it. By the way, we're changing the way we do prizes and constructed. But either way, it's interesting. From what I could tell, Twitter wasn't on fire about this, so presumably no one really cares. But admittedly, I haven't been like holding my fingers to the pulse of Magic for the last week, so I just assume if nothing's on fire, then everything's fine, because usually everything is on fire and everything's fine. Yeah, also finally on the list in the show notes, you'll see a list of what they've changed about the treasure chest, about the things that have been taken out and things that are being added. So in the case of this one, some of the cards being added are from, what is that? Is that conspiracy? Yeah, Queen Marchesa. Yeah. So yeah, that's conspiracy stuff. So that's cool. They've also adjusted the ratios of prizes because not all cards that are available in treasure chests are equal. So if you care about this stuff, take a look, see what your odds are. I assure you seeing them won't change anything, but hey, now you know. And you can also list a lot of the cards that are going to be appearing as part of, you know, the upcoming Modern Masters set. So cool. That's fun. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, because like I said, Modern Masters 2017 starts Wednesday. So the cube's going to go away again, and Modern Masters 2017 is going to run through April 12th. So closer to that, they'll tell us what's replacing it. Yay.
All right, then.
Yeah. Are we pretty much out of the main news now?
I mean, I think we're pretty much out of the news, aren't we?
Oh, okay. Well, then, how about we have an experiment in me losing money?
All right.
Yeah, we do that once a year. So for those who've been listening for a while, you probably know what's about to happen. Essentially, every year when they do these master sets, I go out and I'll buy four packs of them. And then each week for a month, I will open a pack and Chewy will tell me how much money I lost. Because the entirety of the experiment is questioning what's an EV. What can you reasonably expect, using my admittedly very small sample size here, in terms of was this pack worth buying? It's a common question that you'll get out of people because they'll open something and they'll be, oh man, this is totally worth like $50. This is great. Versus the people who open a $3 card out of their $10 pack. And they're like, oh, that sucked. And it's sort of a fun experiment that we can all just go through together. So Chewy, you want to just fire through the common, or I'll fire through the commons and then the uncommons and the rares and foil will be what we actually value.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me actually check.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and open it while you do that.
Let's see. Are there any commons worth anything? There are.
Oh, there are?
Just a couple, but still.
Fair enough, then.
When I say anything, what I mean is like more than a quarter.
Right.
Is actually worth
something. Substantial value towards the $10 cost to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, because before I even look at these cards, I'd like to note that of the sets of these that we've done in the past, Modern Masters 2015 and Eternal Masters were both financial losses. The only time I actually came out ahead in any of these was when we did it for Conspiracy, oddly enough. And that was because there was a lucky pull, and Conspiracy packs only cost $4. So it's much easier to get your money back. You have to open consistently very good to make $10 out of a pack of these master sets. So it's sort of fun to see where these things fall. Because if you open like a $5 or $6 card, you'd normally be excited, but that's actually a loss here. Especially if it's a card that you were never going to use anyway. So.
It's true.
So let's see what we get. All right. Pack is opened.
All right.
I am not one of those people that will smell the pack. I assure you, it probably smells like a magic pack. All right. So. Probably. Here's a card that is worthless. It's Gruul Guildgate.
Yep.
Womp womp. Here's Limited All-Star Mistraven. That's cool. Like a flying Manowar. Got a gnawing zombie. Oh, look at him. He's had a meal. Strength in Numbers.
Nice.
Attended Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Rewind.
Cool.
That's messed up. I forgot about that card.
That's what Tracer does.
Yeah, it is. Tracer does untap up to four lands.
She does.
Yeah. Got a Sundering Growth.
Okay.
Golgari Guildgate to go with that Gruul Guildgate, because this is the gold set, so you kind of want all that fixing. Got a Mud Button Torch Runner.
Woohoo! I love that little guy,
he
but
he kills so much stuff. I got a Pitfall Trap.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right, so now we're up to the uncommons.
All right. Hang on. Let me switch my scale here.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Right. We got Aracto Signet.
Well, I mean, for uncommon, nah, we won't count that. Okay.
Yeah. Teleportal.
No.
I didn't expect it to. Here's a hint. Most overload cards suck. Soul Manipulation.
And sadly, no. You have failed.
So for those of you keeping track, we're now relying entirely on the rare and the foil to make $10.
Yep.
All right. The rare is Mizzium Mortars.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That is the second most worthless rare.
Oh, don't I know it? I already have like 20 of these. How worthless is it?
For the record, it's 43 cents.
Yeah, that's not even half a dollar. And then the foil, womp womp, shimmering grotto. Ouch.
Oh, okay, wait a minute, hang on. Control F, shimmering grotto. In foil, there we go, is... Where's the... Wait, really? That can't be right.
What?
It can't be 5 cents in...
Ouch.
Oh no, here we go. Okay, it's... Here we go, foil. It's like $1.45.
Okay.
So, okay, you're at...
Yeah, I'm at $2.
-8. Yeah, you're at -8 on this pack.
Okay. So there we go, -$8. So the way that I'm going to be keeping track of these so far to keep it, you know, dramatic is that I'm starting at -$40. After one pack, we are now at -$38. So we just got to make that up in three packs. For the curious, no, I have no expectation of making my money back. That would be a ridiculous thing. And if it happens, then great. But I wouldn't be buying these and opening them individually. I'm doing it because it's a fun thing to do on this show. And because I am bad at actually making good financial decisions when it comes to nerd crap. Although this time I didn't buy a booster box. So hey.
That is also a good point.
Go me. Admittedly, yeah, if you open enough of it, I guess in theory things will even out and be less swingy. But whether or not they even out in a positive or a negative is one thing. And whether or not having a booster box of the cards from this set, if you can't actually liquidate or trade all of them, is another thing entirely. So that's always the case in Magic. Most of the cards that you have are worthless because you're not selling them. Enjoy. But hey, that's pack one. We got three more. The next pack is going to have Grizzlebrand on it, so we'll see what pops out of that. But that'll be next week.
Yeah, I mean...
You got to come back.
Surely, next week, you can find you a Damnation or a Fetch or a Lily or a Goyf.
Have I pulled a Mythic out of any of these?
I thought so.
I think I might have pulled a bad one once.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. We'll see. It'll be interesting. I guess on Twitter, tell me which bad Mythic I'm going to pull next week. You can just sort of look and filter by the quality if you want to, but I'm curious to see what you think would pop out. Because as you know, through Gambler's Fallacy, this means I'm probably due. Because I opened a pack and there wasn't one in it. And no one believes in that 1 in 8 nonsense because you saw that guy open 3 of them. So clearly, I'm going to open a Mythic next week because I didn't get one this week. So what am I going to open? Tell me on Twitter. You can tell me at Locklusé, spelled just like it is in the show notes. Don't tell me why.
I'm actually amazed at how many of the, looking at MTG stocks for this set.
Yeah.
How many of these cards are above $10?
Well.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It's only 15.
Are they all Mythic?
No, there's the Fetches.
Oh, so right.
It's a bunch of Mythics, Goblin Guide, Blood Moon, Damnation, Fetches, and Mythics.
That doesn't bode well.
Not
for
really.
$10 a pack, for all the hype that this set has. I mean, the value could be in the Uncommons. That's how the original Modern Masters was. Like, the rares were great, but the Uncommons were pretty good, and also the packs were only $7, so you could get there pretty easily.
There are only 6 Uncommons worth more than a dollar.
Ouch. Okay, then, so let's see if I can get to $38 of value in 3 packs. I just have to open, what, 2 of those cards off that short list? Yeah.
I mean, actually, you've got, what, 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Mythics?
Yeah.
To choose from that are over 10? And you've got Fetches, Damnation, Blood Moon, Goblin Guide? Yeah, you'll probably open, like 2 of those.
All right, yeah. I mean, you know, if I'm getting a Mythic next week, then the week after that, I'm going to have to rely on the foil for my next Mythic slot, so.
Yeah, and then you're going to get at least a foil Fetch because it's you, right? That's how that works?
Yeah. You know that I only have one Flippy Jace, and it's the Comic-Con exclusive because I never opened a normal one. So, like, nice. The most first world of problems, but on the same note, that means that in my experience, the Comic-Con exclusive one was easier to get than the one that was actually in the normal packs.
That is pretty bad, actually.
Yeah. My luck with Mythics is pretty atrocious. But hey, that's something that we can explore next week when we come back and we see what's in it. So past that, I guess we can just start to sign off stuff.
All right, then. Go for it.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinNabob, where I will probably, over the next week, be making vague references to Mass Effect, because I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but that's where my brain's going to be. My brain is going to be so far into Mass Effect land between playing the actual game, which comes online in 2.5 hours, and the audiobook that comes out with it, which I'm going to be listening to, because I just wrapped up Fellowship of the Ring, and I need something that moves faster. So I'll be listening to that and then coming back for Two Towers. I will actually, like, on the comment of that, so I was telling Chewy last time I saw him, I've been making my way through the long list of books that people assume that I've read because I'm a nerd. And while I'd certainly seen...
Now, let's clarify. Bill's a huge nerd.
Yeah, I'm a giant nerd. But that's the thing. My nerdness is spread over so many different genres that I'm not actually as deep into most of them as you might think from meeting me. So when it comes to literature, there's these giant gaps of things that I never read because I didn't read for fun until college. Like, when I was a kid, I read some things for fun, but they weren't, like, the big important stuff. They were, like, the elementary school books. When I got to middle school, I started playing role-playing games, like, you know, Super Nintendo RPGs and stuff, and that's where all my free time went. But past that, past all of that, like, I sort of had this giant gap, and so for the last several years, I've been going back and filling in the gaps on all these things that people have told me I should read one way or another, and I decided after I survived Wheel of Time, which did take 650-something hours, thanks to audiobook, I can probably handle Tolkien for three books or four books. Cause I went and did The Hobbit and The Hobbit was fine. It made the differences from the movie even more present, even though I already kind of knew them. I made it through Fellowship of the Ring. That was fun. But again, I am doing these in audiobook because I know the story. So it's okay if I tune out for a moment while I'm doing other stuff because it is that slow. One thing that I will take away from the end of Fellowship is that even the Fellowship of the Ring, like, you know, the eight of them we have at that point, spoiler alert, will spend forever not knowing where they're going and complaining about not knowing if they need to take a left or a right. Like, that is all the Fellowship does. Is, I want to go up the mountain. Well, I want to go under the mountain. I want to go up the mountain. I want to go under the mountain. Well, fine, we'll go up. Oh, it's cold. Let's go under the mountain. And then you get there like, all right, well, we're going to ride the boats. Cool, let's ride the boats. All right, are we going to go left or are we going to go right? I don't know. Let's decide when we get there. Okay, well, we're here. Now what are we going to do? I don't want to decide. Frodo, you figure it out. It's like, you're the king. You should decide. Nah, I'll be the king in two books. Yeah, Frodo, you figure it out. And then later on, it's not till the next book that he decides. Because all those scenes from the end of the first movie come from the beginning of the second book. So
yep,
there you have it. I feel bad for the Boromir fans who went to the second book and were like, oh, because wow. I don't mind spoiling that. That's as old as World War II. Enjoy.
I think literally, right?
Yeah, he wrote the trilogy during the 40s. So it came out in the early 50s. But yeah, so that's the thing. But yeah, I'm going to be taking a break from that and listening to the Mass Effect audiobook. So hopefully that'll keep me hyped about it while I'm actually playing the game. I'm not going to be one of those people who like starts playing it right at midnight and powers through. But if I'm still up at midnight, I might sign in and at least make my character because the character customization in these games is crazy. And you get to make both of the main character siblings. So I'm curious to see how building two very different looking siblings will work and if the game will let me do it. Should be interesting. They're supposed to be twins, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, past that, I will note that I survived Final Fantasy 15. And I
did you finish it?
I finished it yesterday because Mass Effect comes out tonight. And I, without going into any spoilers or ranting details, I really enjoyed the first half of the game. And the second half of the game I enjoyed for different reasons. But I will say that structurally speaking, it's exactly as flawed as every Final Fantasy game is. Where they show you a lot of really cool stuff early on. And then some crazy guy who wants to get all symbolic and stuff show up and mess everything up at the end. This happens every Final Fantasy game, pretty much throughout. So I kind of expected it. But the driving around with my friends thing was a lot of fun. Like, I really enjoyed the emotional highs of it. The emotional lows are pretty depressing. If I had to describe the game, I would say that rather than being based around a story, it's based around the emotional experience that you have while you play it. The first half of the game is a lot more optimistic than the second half, and you're pretty much feeling what the characters are, and the gameplay reflects that pretty well, actually. When the characters are frustrated, you are frustrated. When the characters are happy, you are happy. It works out. But It's an interesting experience, and I really like the gameplay, even if some people are critical of it. The fishing game can burn in 10 hells, which is impressive because it is made of water. I hate the fishing minigame in everything, and I wish Japan wasn't so into those. But yeah, I made my way through that. I enjoyed it. I also survived 8 episodes of Iron Fist. I will withhold my opinion on it until I see the rest of it. That's my nonsense.
How many more are there? Like 5 more?
Yeah, I think it's the usual 13. Okay. So, I mean, mainly I'm looking at Iron Fist as a vehicle that's going to get us to Defenders this fall. So, looking forward to that.
Yay.
Yeah.
And I still haven't watched Luke Cage.
Getting there, right?
I mean, maybe. One of these days. I'm usually not more than 2 Marvel series behind.
You're probably going to want to be caught up for Defenders, though. It's not as long of a series, so you'll be able to jump into it easier. I think it's only going to be like 6 episodes.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just going to be the, not to say the payoff, because each of the individual shows has its own payoff, but I think it'll probably be really good. Neat. Looking forward to it. So that's all my nonsense for right now. So I'm going to kick things over to Clues, who's not here. So it's at Luckless A, just like in the show notes. Tell him what mythic I'm not going to open. It's going to be great. And now Chewy.
No, wait. Tell him what crappy mythic you are going to
open. Yeah, that's way better. Tell him that. Yeah. Just don't tell him why. He knows what he did.
And if he doesn't, well, he should have been paying better attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, as for me, I actually was able to stream on Sunday.
What?
With, after damn near 3 hours of streaming, I had a total of 96 dropped frames. Which leads me back to my original conclusion that it's not me, it's my internet service provider. So yeah.
I'm it's not sure you,
what's
it's
going
them.
On. Yeah.
Hmm.
It's not my system or anything of mine, because it wouldn't have worked on Sunday night if it was me. Because when something is broken and not working, it doesn't work. It doesn't selectively choose when it works. So yeah, that was entertaining. There will be no Tuesday night stream this week. I'm very sorry for anyone listening to this before that. But, you know, not sorry enough to do it. As for YouTube, I did another Guts and Glory video, and I finally finished the Aether Revolt story on Magic Duels. The final boss fight was actually a lot of fun.
Ooh, did they kill Jace?
I got free... No. I got free toys to play with.
Ooh.
You start with a Heart of Kirin.
Oh, man. That's usually where Kirin ends.
At some point, you get Gideon, who just shows up and is like, I'm here to help.
He does
and
that. Then,
like, original Gideon Jura.
Ooh.
Mind you. Yeah.
He is gonna help.
And then,
busted.
A little while later, you get the new Chandra, Torch of Defiance, which is pretty cool. I managed to break all of my free toys, because that's what kids do with free toys, is break them. So, sorry about that. And it actually took, more than one attempt. I'm not gonna tell you how many, but it took more than one attempt, to beat the final boss of Tezzeret. And it was good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Also, bad at this game. Yeah. But that's pretty much it as far as YouTube. I mean, there's another Tavern Brawl video. So if you're into Hearthstone and Tavern Brawl, you should check that out. The brawl last week was kind of stupid and broken, and I kind of hated it. So thank goodness it's over. But just today I recorded some Rogue Legacy, because I hadn't played Rogue Legacy in far too long. So that's awesome. Got 2 more of those videos recorded. Very happy, very excited. And I really want to... I think some of the video series that I've been meaning to go back to, I think I'm just done. Like, I'm not sure I see myself going back to, hang on, go get installed games. Here we go. Going back to Dark Echo, or possibly not even Cluster Truck. Cause as much fun as it was, it's pretty much a one-trick pony, you know?
Yeah. Like how I don't really see us ever trying Lethal League again, because you can only go so fast before time says no.
I mean, that one I do if, we get a fourth person. I
oh, that's, totally that would be different. See,
or different people. Yeah. I can totally see playing more Lethal League, but sort of like Duck Game. You know, if I can get more people in on Duck Game, I will totally play more Duck Game for YouTube, because it's insane and fun and stupid. So yeah, I'm looking into some things to try to figure out what to start next. Maybe I've always wanted to play some point and click games for YouTube, because they're so bizarre and out there. It's just a matter of figuring out how to play them. I'm also looking, I'm looking at all kinds of stuff, actually. I'm trying to figure out what pops at me, and then I go, oh, I have to do that, and then I do it. Sort of like I did with Shovel Knight. I'll be finishing Shovel Knight here soon, too. I've only got 3 or 4 or 5, something like that, more episodes to go on that. Yeah. Sick. Anyway, just planning for things. No idea what I'm doing just yet. If you have any suggestions, then hit me with them. Chances are I'll ignore you.
Yeah.
Unless it's something I already have, in which case I'll be like, really? Yeah, hell yeah. So if you want to check any of that out, it's youtube.com/c/themanapool. And then the streaming is at twitch.tv/themanapool. I finally got a little applet thing set up on If This Then That to tweet and put something on the Manapool Facebook page when I go live on Twitch. So that's awesome. It'll work properly as far as I know. So now I can just hop on and it'll notify people automatically instead of me having to remember to do it manually, because I'm bad at that. I'm usually so excited that it's working and that the stream is up that I forget to, you know, tell people or change what it says on Twitch or any of that. It's like, Chewie, you're not playing Hearthstone. You're shooting people in the face. I'm like, oh yeah, let me go change that real quick. Bad at this game. But anyway, I'm gonna shut up now. So, as always, everything is the Manapool. Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Patreon. If you want to help support what I do, you can get YouTube videos and Manapool episodes early. You can get early stuff and get the odds and ends, which is the stuff behind the scenes stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool that are uncensored, unfiltered. And if you want, you can get all of that and get your name on the end screen for each video that goes up every month that you support at that level. Yay! I'm missing something. Email. If you want to, send me an email. Send it to Chewie. That's chewie@mtgcast.com or @themanapool.com. Whichever. They both come to the same place. And if you want to help support magic podcasting in general, but not me specifically, then that's cool. What you can do is go to mtgcast.com, click on Support MTGcast, and sign up for a small monthly donation there, because every little bit there also helps and is appreciated, because while MTGcast is completely free for all of you listeners to use, and it's completely free for all of us podcasters to use, it is not actually completely free and actually costs quite a bit of money. So, yay. And with that, we'll be done now. So be sure to torment Clues on Twitter, please. Because I don't have time to torment him properly anymore. It's sad.
No, that is sad. You got to outsource that.
Yeah. Well, crowdsource it turns out.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
It's like a Kibler Google, but instead it's a Kibler
troll.
Torment. I don't like that word. Because troll has turned into being a jerk.
That's true. Yeah, it's lost a lot of its original value.
It's original meaning, so yeah. Just go
it's
with
like a Kibler
but
hassle.
Anyway. A Kibler hassle. There we go. Don't hassle Kibler, though, because he's very sexy. And he's a nice guy. Yeah. Clues is also a nice guy, but hassle him. It's fine. But anyway, this has been Monday Night Magic number 553. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.